By my calculation, this is the 35th time I have preached on Christmas Eve. That's not counting the teenage youth group Christmas pageant where I portrayed the front end of the donkey. 35 Christmas Eves, still a work in progress. It takes a while to get it right, so I thought I would tell you tonight what Christmas is all about. Ready? I'm going to go for the heart of it. A cutaway, the fake tinsel, the artificial light, no mention of gift cards, snowflakes, or chestnuts. I'm going to put Christmas in three words. You may want to write this down. Here goes. Union with God. That's it. Now, we can expand on it, I suppose. Fortunately, I have a few minutes to do that. Especially for the guy back there in the camel hair coat who will meet me at the door and say, what exactly do you mean by that union with God thing? It's a good question, because some people don't think that's even possible. We're down here, God is somewhere up there. It's not possible. Like the Puritans who came to America some 400 years ago, they hated Christmas. They did everything they could to shut it down. They broke off from the Anglicans, accusing them of partying too much. They thought there was too much merriment in late December, too much frivolity, too much celebration, too much brazen activity, and those Puritans declared the gospel is made of sterner stuff. So they outlawed celebrations of this night, the first so-called war on Christmas, and stated that all must spend their time in repentance. And here you are. Well, I hate to tell you, but this brand of church came from the Puritans. Well-starched, stiff-backed, affectionately called the Frozen Chosen. And they all believed there was no way that any human person could ever be united with God. That we're all too tainted, too dirty, too corrupt, too broken. So it was not uncommon to attend the Puritan church around Christmas time and hear a two-hour sermon about how bad we all are. And when the congregation was properly chastised, the preacher would remind them that Jesus died to take away our sin. If only they repented, their sins might be taken away. Because that's the only way they could ever be united to God, through the cross. And then, not really, until you died. And then, maybe. So with that, they pulled on their dark gray overcoats and shuffled home to a dinner of cold porridge. Merry Christmas, Frozen Chosen. Now that was all they knew, and I don't blame them for that. Life was hard. Living like Jesus was difficult. It still is. And their only connection, God, seemed to be through the preaching of their sins, the tail end reminder that God might remove their sin if only they were penitent enough. Because for them, life was only about the death of Jesus. Not even a resurrection could lift their hearts. And so they squelched Christmas. But here's the thing. Christmas is the truth of God's union with us. What did God do? Became a human child. That's the Christmas story. The Creator sets aside all power and heavenly privilege and becomes part of the creation. God is now with us. That's the message. That's the heart of it all. That's what we're singing about. That song we just heard, "Tomorrow will be my dancing day." What's that mean? Well, that's the pre-existent Christ deciding he's going to get feet and dance and invite the rest of us to dance too. So, Maybe there's more to life than the death of Jesus. Maybe there's also resurrection. And maybe the birth of Jesus matters too, and maybe his birth matters for our life. Which is exactly what one brilliant soul had to say. Listen. Christ took upon himself this human form of ours. In the incarnation, the whole human race recovers the dignity of the image of God. Through fellowship and communion with the incarnate Lord, we recover our true humanity. And at the same time, we are delivered from that individualism which is the consequence of sin, and retrieve our solidarity with the whole human race. Now that's a lot of theology, especially if you've had a couple glasses of wine. So hear it in a couple words from the Gospel of John. First, this verse. What came into being with him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And this one. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. And if that's still too much, a line from A Christmas Carol, which we're not going to sing tonight. Come Sunday, we'll sing it then. Light and life to all he brings. Light and life. These are the gifts of God. You ever notice you don't have to work for light and life? They're just already there, ready to be received. And rather than stretch and strain and stress out, it's so much better to lean back, breathe in the air, and say, thank you, God, for light and life. For God dignifies human life on the day Jesus is born. It is the sign that God wishes for heaven and earth to be united. Which is to say, we don't have to wait until we die before we live with God. We can live with God here and now. In the depths of prayer, the mystics would call this union with God. Now, it's a wonderful thing. If you have it, nice work if you can get it. Any of us can lose that sense of living with God. It happens in any number of ways. God is quiet enough that a lot of us are accustomed to living only with ourselves. And we do have the God-given freedom to mess up our lives as much as we want, but to mess up your life or to mess up somebody else's life is not to own our God-given dignity. And if you find yourself wearing yourself out at Christmas time, it's probably a sign that we're not accepting the grace of God that says, I made you, I became like you, I love you just as you are. Bonhoeffer, he was the one who wrote those words before, he was right. In the incarnation, the whole human race recovers the dignity of the image of God. What does that mean? It means your life matters. It means that joy matters. About doing work that gives you purpose and direction. That matters. We do not have to live as those separated from God if we receive this gift of God with us and among us. We don't have to allow our own brokenness to break anybody else, especially if we can receive the gift that God holds all the broken pieces and offers to mend what can be mended. We don't have to poison our bodies, or twist our minds, or pull our arms out of joint, reaching for what we think we do not have. God has entrusted great riches to all of us. For our part, we can open our hands, receive what God provides, and then do something beautiful with everything we have received. What we've received is life. God's life. That's the light in all of your eyes. So no need to make this any harder than it is. The Christian Christmas invitation is to stand into light, to receive the light, and to remember on a night like this that God was found among us and has never gone away. That's what Christmas is all about. Union with God. God with us. It's the all in all, and it's enough. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to say,